How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. D-Maze, Vigan, and Donick, final hour of the show, and we are covering Titans training camp. It's presented by Titans or Tennessee Brew Works, Parman Energy, and the Music City kickoff game. Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Visit ParmanEnergy.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Connor Newt here with you. Connor Newt, the new quarterback of the 6 p.m. hour called simply The Six. The Six. We just heard the promo from him. So he and Parker Kelly will be bringing you an extra hour of action when we are done at 6 o'clock tonight. First day of Titans training camp today. We had a good time. All three of us were out there watching the action. And, of course, front and center stage, Cam Ward had 18 minutes of a press conference after it was over. So it was a big day front and center, as you would expect, for the guy that is more important than any Titan, and it's not even close. So, Derek, for people, we talked a lot about it in our first hour, but for our new audience, maybe just hopping in their car, they want to know what went on today. How do you think Cam Ward looked in day one? We know this is a long work in progress, mm-hmm. So today is not the end-all be-all, but what'd you think?
I thought he looked okay. I mean, I don't think I was coming in expecting him to light up the world two-a-day practice one. Can you call it two-a-days anymore?
I don't think so.
Mini camp. I just say training camp, day number one. You didn't, or at least I didn't expect for him to come in and just complete every pass and look as sharp as a pencil. But he did do some things that I thought were good. I know I'm sure he probably wished he would have had a few throws back. Not to say that they were horrible throws, but, you know, when you go back and watch film, you probably look at it a little bit different from what you saw out there on the field or what you were thinking out there on the field. But outside of that, I think, you know, he did what you're supposed to do as a second-year quarterback, and he looked okay. I mean,
he seemed very comfortable at the podium. Comfortable running the offense.
Yeah, so I don't think there's – again, we will not know a lot of questions to these – I mean, answers to these questions until, you know, weeks down the line. And more so once you start to get into playing other opponents, then we can better decipher between, you know, what we believe – it's going to stick and what this team could potentially look like and what we believe they may need to get better at. So outside of that, I thought he had a good first day. He may say it was okay. He may say it was great. I don't know. But from my vantage, it was just a good day. Nothing.
Yeah, and he kind of echoed that. And of course, every day you're looking big picture here. But we're going to get into the Daboll offense today, because Cam had some things to say about that. Mm-hmm. We're going to play you a clip in just a moment, because you hear all of this stuff about Brian Daboll's offense being, quote, quarterback friendly, catered to younger quarterbacks. Daboll was very excited, made no bones about it when he got the job, that he had scouted Cam Ward. He thought Cam Ward would be a fit for his offense when he was the coach of the Giants, and now he gets Cam Ward in his second year. But let's go over a couple of the news items, and I know you might have heard Connor's update at the top of the hour, but Connor, let's go through just a couple of things. Mitch Trubisky not out there today because?
Fatigue slash he was tightness up, yeah. up north or something like that, yeah.
So not expected to miss much time, but Will Levis got more reps as a result.
Yeah.
Also,
Hooker got more reps.
Hendon Hooker was out there a lot with the third group. Mm-hmm. Connor also... Calvin Ridley, why was he not out there today?
Severe stomach virus. Apparently he's lost a little bit of weight, but he will be back pretty shortly too.
Sounded optimistic,
yeah.
Robert Sala, that Calvin Ridley can still be a didn't build up too much. I want to use the, I can't remember the exact words, but he says he can still run. He can still play, was basically it. So I was wondering how he was going to be viewed, and we won't know it until we see it on the field there. But I think we're all curious, what version of Calvin Ridley are you getting at this stage?
Yeah.
Coming off a very severe injury.
Yeah, from last year. And, you know, camp doesn't start the way he wanted it to start, meaning because he has this virus and wasn't able to be out there with the guys, and don't know if he's going to be out there tomorrow or not. Hopefully he is, which means he's getting better, or he is better. But I think Calvin Ridley, because of the – I think it's a prove-it year for Calvin Ridley. I really do. I think it's a prove-it year from this standpoint. And this may dictate what they do with, you know, do with him contractually moving forward. If he comes out and he proves to be a bona fide, legit number two, which I think in a perfect world, that's who he is. I think
meaning Tate would be the number one?
Yeah, Tate would be the number one, and Ridley would be the number two. I think in a perfect world, at this juncture in his career, from what I've seen, he is better suited as the number two, and he will be a damn good number two if he stays healthy.
With Robinson being the slot specialist
kind of guy. Robinson being the slot specialist, and then obviously Carnell Tate on the outside. So I think this is going to be a year where he has to prove, because I don't want this to be a slight to Calvin Ridley if he may hear this or somebody else hear this and go back and tell him. But I think at this juncture of his career, he's a number two. I think that's where he will thrive or be the best version of himself. Now, if Tate got to go out a play or two, or God forbid he gets injured or miss a game or two, I think then Calvin Ridley can slide into the number one and be your number one until your actual number one comes back. But I think if you want to maximize the most and he wants to prolong his career, he has to show that he is a bona fide. Not a, maybe he can be a two, maybe. No, he needs to prove he's a bona fide number two.
Okay, let's go back to Cam now, because this does sound really, and here we are again. It's still July.
Yeah.
Nothing has disrupted the hope, right? Everybody's undefeated.
Yeah.
That was John Franklin Myers about the rebuild. He goes, hey, we're all 0-0
exactly.
Right now. There's no rebuild. There's nobody that's good and bad. And that definitely happens, but now we'll see when the stuff starts flying, the live stuff, whether they can keep this attitude. But there's a lot of optimism, and here's what Cam Ward had to say so far about working in the Brian Daboll offense, because you visualize all these things. Could it be? Could Calvin Ridley be a good number two? Can Carnell Tate be what they hope he would be, number one? Can Wandale Robinson be the good third down security blanket? All of these things that you hope come together. But it all starts with Brian Daboll and Cam Ward. Here is what Ward said about his new offensive coordinator.
You had mentioned working with Daboll, that's something that you've really come to realize, the third down importance. What was different from before to now? Just what led to that revelation?
I just think the system. It's a young guy's system. He gives us a lot of freelance, not only myself, but the receivers, to do as we feel space-wise. And I just think, you know, he's putting us, you know, just schematically in the best situations, looking at things the defense does to get leverage for the wideouts, to, you know, make sure I don't have to move as much in the pocket to help the O-line out by getting the ball out faster. So I just think he's just making me a better football player each and every day.
All right, so let's go through the wide receiver translator here, and let's get D-Mates. How do you interpret what Cam Ward said? Because a couple things jumped out at me, because everybody's been talking about this. They need to get the ball out quicker. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a big point of emphasis. He also said it's like a young man's system. It's a young player system. He said freelance in there. What do you think that means
for him? You have the flexibility. That's what it means. Because I go back.
You think there's less jargon? Complicated?
It's not less complicated. It's not less jargon. Everything's going to be the same. The plays are called the same. But I remember having this conversation with the late Mike Heimerdinger years when I was here. And, you know, his thing was, listen, you and make sure whatever y'all do, make sure y'all two are on the same page, meaning you and Steve, whatever. I don't want you to completely go outside the confines of the offense and start making stuff up on your own. But within the construct of the offense and the plays that we're running, you have leeway as a player. But you only have leeway is if you and the quarterback understand what the leeway is. You can't be doing your own thing and the quarterback think you're doing something else. I think that's why Mac and I were so successful together. That's why myself and other quarterbacks were so successful together, because even in that, you know, freelance, and Neil O'Donnell would tell me the same thing. Neil was one of the first guys, and I talk about this all the time. Outside of Dave Craig, which many people don't remember, that was my rookie year. Willie, you remember? I don't think you remember who Dave Craig is. Do you know who Dave Craig is, Connor?
D-Maze, you weren't even here when I was born.
Yeah, I'm down. See, Dave, you don't even know who Dave Craig is. But no, when Dave Craig was here, you know, he was one of those advocates for me. You know, he was always trying to give me the ball, always making sure I was working. And then once Neil came in, he and I built a rapport because he was in the second unit, I was in the second unit. But his thing was, get open, man. Get open, and whatever you do, do it quickly. So I can see it, I know it, and I can throw the football. Don't be sitting there doing all this other stuff, and I got to try to figure out what you're doing. We both got to be on the same page. And that's what Steve and I built. We built that, listen, we're going to be able to do what we need to do. But there are some flexibilities and some leeway within the offense that we're running. We're not robots. I repeat, we're not robots. Just because they draw it up on a chalkboard or the whiteboard or whatever you want to call it, doesn't mean it's going to go that way. You know, defenses move in real time. Defenses fool you in real time. So you have to be able to adjust. And if adjusting means, you know, having a little leeway or freedom to do certain things, you can have that. But you better make sure y'all are on the same page. Because y'all ain't on the same page enough with that freelance and stuff. Because y'all haven't figured it out. That's why quarterbacks and receivers, man, that's why you see these combinations that are so good. Because they know one another. They know when he may cut the route down. They know when the quarterback wants it high. They figure this stuff out. They are able to adjust within the routes that are called.
I still think because so many of this is new to Cam Ward, he's so young, you've got a guy in Carnell Tate that is a rookie, that I don't know that it's going to start off the way it's going to finish. I would hope that you see improvement over the course of the season. But I do like the concept. One of the things that Daboll seems to be unique with is he is not a guy that just runs a system and says, here's my system. This is how we're going to play. Whoever I have, I don't really care who the players are. This is what we're going to run. It's more, from what I understand, I cater my system to the strengths of the personnel that I have. And it takes the right mind. And I heard the MMQB guys talking about this. He said, it's one thing to be a play caller where I can draw up the play. And I can say, in a perfect world, you know, this is where the X guy goes. This is where this guy, he's going to run this pattern. And it should all work out. As opposed to really understanding, instead of just drawing it up, just really understanding why a play works. Why the play is drawn up that way. And I think that those are the best play callers. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I hate to say it, but this was a big criticism of the predecessors to Daboll, is it just never seemed like they were one up on people. And it's hard when you don't have the horses, right? Yeah. But I'm hoping I see a difference with the Daboll offense, that he really has a deep understanding of how do I bring out the best in what I have to work with.
Cam said something during the press conference that I think I'm sure everybody heard it and understood it. He said that, you know, because I think the question was asked, how have you gotten better and everything like that. He said, Daboll is asking me to see the offense, not just through my eyes, but through the offensive line eyes, the receiver's eyes, the tight ends.
Deep understanding.
Exactly, because that means you know what everybody's doing, and if you see a certain coverage, you know what he's supposed to be looking at and what he's supposed to be doing, so you can anticipate on the route being ran. Is it going to be cut short? Is he going to break it in because it's single high? Is he going to run the post because it's split safeties? You know these things now, because now you see it through the lens of not just yourself, but you see it through the lens of the offensive lineman. More importantly, you see it from the lens through the lens of the guy that you're throwing the football to. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was encouraging, because the quarterback is the one guy on the team that has to know what everybody, and I mean everybody, is doing.
And I would think that's going to take some time before you really get to that level, especially because the offense is new in your second year and you have new players. But Cam did refer to that today. He does feel like he's – like I would imagine this is true. You get better at watching film. You get better at knowing how to study, how to watch film. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation going on amongst us just watching the practice today about some of the little inside clips we saw with Brian Callahan. And we discussed it on our show a couple weeks ago with Adam here when the series first came out. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to – like, I don't understand how that – I have done plenty of film study for basketball, mm-hmm. say, not for football. But you probably were way better at being efficient and studying film after a couple years as opposed to when you first got in the league,
yeah,
right?
Because some things you – when you come in, all depends on how things were taught to you in college. And I was fortunate enough, especially my last 2 years, I was fortunate enough to have a bunch of guys that had spent time in NFL buildings that were coaches in the NFL, and it was led by Nick Saban. So we – there were ways that they wanted us to watch film, so to speak, and what to look for in actually what you're looking at. And, you know, when you come to the NFL, it's still all brand new to you, and it's still just like a blur running past you. And that first season, you're just trying to take it all in. And that second season is when, you know, typically you see that jump for guys. And a lot of that isn't necessarily because of physically what they did. Now, they're going to work out. Everybody, just about every guy wants to work out hard after their rookie season or after the season prior to make sure physically they come in and be in tip-top shape and ready to go. But it's that mental progression that you make from year one to year two that helps you, you know, helps the game slow down, helps you understand things and see things a totally different way, and it allows you to look at film in a totally different way because now you know exactly what you're looking at. I think Cam said this either, was it during the Netflix thing or Tubi, was one of them where he said, like, last year, that was my first time seeing it.
Right.
You know, it was my first time seeing those defenses. And he's right. It's a lot of people. When you're a rookie, a lot of things you see.
The game seems to be
going
very fast.
Exactly.
When that's the case, right?
Exactly.
The game and I think anybody who's played, when you get to a higher level, I think it always seems like that at first.
Exactly.
That things are going, boy, this is faster. The players are faster. The level's faster. Everybody's good. How do I slow the game down? Mm-hmm. And that's a understanding that part of it, knowing
exactly
how to watch film.
But that comes from
watching film and doing the reps. Hopefully things will slow down for
exactly
Cam this year. If he portrays that, I think the numbers will be better.
Mm-hmm.
How much better, we'll see. But there you go. Optimism is high.
Yes!
It's July 29th. Everybody's undefeated. All right, when we come back, we'll do our little change of pace segment today. And Derek is going to take a look at another team, another story around the league that has relevance to a Titans fan. The Ravens. Derek used to play there. He's played for John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is not the coach of the Ravens for the first time
played
in
Ravens
a long
this year.
Time. Yes, they do. They play the Ravens. In fact, they play that whole division. And so how the Ravens are doing pertains to the Titans. We're going to talk to D-Maze, his thoughts about the post-Harbaugh Ravens. What do they look like? That's coming up next here on DVD. Nice. Good call, Connor. Hollow Notes, written by Warren Pasch.
Early 80s.
East Nashvilleian. I've met Warren through some mutual friends. This is like, he still makes money off of this song.
I remember bumping to this in my living room. Yeah. While my parents would play it.
That's right.
Hall & Oates.
So, probably part of the reason he still makes money, because I love Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates is awesome. Well, you know, they still are kind of on the outs, the two, the last I checked, right?
I don't think they like each other.
Have they
too
made
much.
Up? Yeah. They
no.
haven't made up? Come on,
I
man.
I don't think so.
The world would be a better place if they get back together.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
First, the Fat Boys break up. Nah. Hall & Oates.
Fat Boys. That's a great 80s reference there. You got to
exactly.
know the 80s
you
to know the Fat 80s, Boys.
Yes.
Okay, so what year is Private Eyes?
Early
I think
80s?
I know. It's definitely early.
81.
I think you're right. I'm going to go. We agree.
Yes,
Steve Ace.
Yes.
We are pitching a perfect game right now. I don't want to. Hold on. Knock on wood.
Yeah,
Coach
don't
Willie.
Say anything.
You don't say, you're not supposed to say anything. But we have gotten every one of these so far to the year. We'll see if we can go perfect next segment. All right. It's time for our little change of pace segment here on DVD. We've talked heavy Titans, but we want to give you a topic each day that it's an outside the bubble of the Titans, a league issue that will pertain, have some relevance to the Titans. Or as Adam likes to say, Titans adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to use that vocab.
Yes.
So the Ravens are coming, or wait, where do they play that game? They play, the Titans play in Baltimore mm-hmm. week 4 of the season.
Early.
And we know, among the bitter rivals of the Titans, nobody has given the Titans more pain than the Ravens, although the Titans do have some victories in the playoffs over the Ravens as well. But one thing we know about the Ravens, going back to 2008, which was John Harbaugh's first year, and Derek Mason was on that team, mm-hmm. John Harbaugh's first team. Since 2008, he has been the coach of the Ravens. And the Ravens beat the Titans, the number one seed in the AFC that year in the playoffs, in a very painful game if you were a Titans fan. Almost as painful, but not as painful as the one that D-Mace played for the good guys back in 2000, where the Ravens beat the Titans. But Baltimore, during Harbaugh's tenure, was one of just 6 teams to make the playoffs at least 12 times. And they finished 500 or better 15 times over that span. Only the Steelers played more winning regular season football. Now, we know that's not the end-all be-all. Mm-hmm. The Ravens, they did get to the Super Bowl and win it under Harbaugh. So it's a new era for Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing that you can count on every year is even if they weren't great, they were always relevant. They're always in the mix. And sometimes they've been really, really good. So what do you think this is going to look like with Jesse Minter, who does have Nashville ties? He was on the Vanderbilt staff for Clark Lee not too long ago.
You reminded me of that yesterday. I'm like, was he? Like, wow, okay.
And I'm curious myself what the identity looks like. They still have Lamar Jackson. They still have Derrick Henry. So there will be some old standbys there. And they are predicted to be among the contenders in the AFC North, which is the division the Titans play, head up. So they will play the Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns. So what do we think post-John Harbaugh? What do you think will be the same? What do you think will be different?
I'm sure, you know, from an offensive standpoint, it'll look different because the offensive coordinator is different. He's the head coach with the Cleveland Browns. So I'm sure it will be different. And I think that's what you're hearing coming out of that building, that things are different. Offense, at least offensively, from what it has been or what it was last year under Harbaugh. But like any team, you have to – how can you overcome the losses of individuals that were paramount to your team's success throughout the years? Tyler Lindenbaum, Isaiah Likely, guys like that were big parts of you – a big part of you winning. During those, you know, 3 or 4 years, the last 3 or 4 years. So how does a team like that replace one of the better centers out there? And Isaiah Likely has turned into a hell of a tight end. Now he's with the Giants with Harbaugh. And there are a couple other guys. It's crazy how that happened. But there's a couple other guys on that were on that Baltimore Raven team that is now on the New York Giants team. You talk about Jordan Stout, who's the punter. He got a 3-year deal. Pat Ricard, who was there, do it all. you know, fullback. He's inked a 2-year deal with the Giants, one of their safeties. Did the same also. So how do the Baltimore Ravens replace those guys? Will you can Derrick Henry continue to run the way he has been running? I think he can. I will predict over 1,400 yards from Derrick Henry once again.
So you think he's still got another big year in him?
Oh, I think he does. I only thing that's going to slow this guy down is him retiring or he, you know, suffers an injury. That's the only thing slowing this guy down, because he is a one of one.
And he had a couple of uncharacteristic fumbles
that hurt them.
Remember, they dug a hole last year. I think they were 1-5 at one point. I know they lost 4 in a row early, and they couldn't. It was really weird with the Bengals losing Burrow. It was part of a strange year in the AFC because the Ravens were fighting from a deep hole that they never really got out of. They didn't make the playoffs. The Chiefs, of all people, didn't make the playoffs.
Yes.
And Burrow and the Bengals never could recover from not having him. Well, they couldn't survive until he got back. It was too late. And so you had those three teams
out of the
that
playoffs.
Seemed like they're there every year. None of them were there.
No.
So is it just as simple as if Lamar stays healthy, they'll be back in the playoffs?
I think that's part of it.
Despite
not having Harbaugh. I think because this is a mark. And this is where we hope the Titans, they were once there. We just hope that they're finding their way back to being this type of organization. No matter who sits at the head coaching table, the goal, the culture is the same no matter what. Why? Because the players said it. And when you have guys like Ed Reed, and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Jonathan Ogden that come through that place, and then you have Lamar Jackson and some of the other guys that have been successful, Joe Flacco, what's the kid's name? Anquan Boldin. Even Anquan Boldin. There was a standard already set. So no matter who you bring in here, you know, as coach, there's a standard set throughout the building. The coach and the players must hold to that standard no matter what the issue is or what the situation is. So adding Jesse Minner, he's been there before. Jesse Minner was with the Baltimore Ravens before. So he understands the culture. He understands what the owner wants from his team, from this team. And that's what you're not going to see. I don't think from a culture standpoint or how they play football is going to change. They're always going to be aggressive. They're always going to run the football down your throat. They're going to try to take the game to you. Can they do it, continue to do it, without Tyler Lindenbaum, Isaiah Likely, guys that were critical to the success that they had? And then, obviously, your quarterback has to stay healthy. I think the wide receiver position is a pretty good position. I think Zay Flowers is going to be really good. I think he's going to add on to what he has already been able to do. They get Nnamdi Madubuike back. He's been sidelined because of that neck injury, so he's now back in the fold. What kind of player will he be? I think he missed, a year and a half, almost two seasons because of this injury. It may have been a year and a half. But all of these guys are coming back. Only thing they bring Trey Hendrickson in. So you got all of these guys that now you add to a team that culture, the way they play, the identity is still the same. It's just different coaches. But you got to keep your quarterback healthy. If you don't keep your quarterback healthy, it's going to be hard for you to win with any team. Your franchise quarterback goes down, unless you got a backup that's capable of winning, it's going to be very difficult for you to win.
So here's my question. What version of Lamar Jackson are we going to see? He is now, he's hit 30 years old. Last year, he didn't just miss the four games. It's when he played, he was not quite himself. I think he was battling through some things. And this is a general, we used to make this observation about Steve McNair. As he got more mature and older,
He didn't need to run as much. Mm-hmm. He didn't look to run as much. And he got better every year as a passer. I think you could say that about Lamar Jackson, right? He's gotten better each year as a passer. But the weapon that separates him mm-hmm. is his ability to make not just good runs, but game-changing runs.
Yeah.
For example, last year, or going into last year, he had averaged more than 30 rushing attempts of 10 or more yards. So 30 or more 10-plus yard runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, and a lot of those, a lot more than 10,
yes.
right? We know we can envision it. Last year, it really went down. He only had half of that last year, just 15. And, of course, he's got a new coach. Mm-hmm. He's got so how much is he going to run? Like, I think fantasy owners are probably interested in that, too, because that's always been something that's been a nice little bonus if you have Lamar Jackson as your fantasy quarterback. You get those running yards and those running touchdowns.
Yeah.
So is he going to – can he get – does he go back? Like, he only ran it 67 times last year. The year before, over twice that, 139. The year before that, 148.
Mm-hmm.
So is he done being that runner for good? Or if he's feeling better – is it going to get back to the Lamar of what we've seen in the past?
Well, I'm just going to tell you what Kyle Hamilton said, is that he feels Lamar has gotten faster.
And that's
if
scary.
He's gotten fast, that is totally scary. Lamar Jackson is an excellent passer. He's an excellent runner. What you just said about his play last year was right. He just didn't look like the Lamar Jackson that we were accustomed to. It didn't look like he really wanted to run. It looked as if he was very cautious with everything that he did. And hopefully, for the Ravens' sake, that he doesn't come into camp or doesn't come into the season as that same quarterback he was last year. Because a lot of stuff, I'm sure he was dealing with injuries. He's missing games. He just wasn't quite what we thought, you know, from an NFL world, we thought he was going to be. But it seems like, just like Cam Ward, just like Jeffrey Simmons, they feel they got a new lease on life. They feel they got a new coach, a guy that's bringing some new, fresh ideas in. So Baltimore, they're hoping it works for them, just like we here in Nashville are hoping that, you know, things work for Sala in a way where this team is winning more games than they're not.
When we come back, we will have our final segment. We'll see what the Ravens look like. Tomorrow we'll have a new topic, and it will have to do with the running back position around the league. Remember people used to say, not too long ago, you don't want to pay running backs.
No.
You don't need to pay running backs. But what if you have the best running backs? That's what's going on right now contractually with the Lions and the Falcons. Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, they are both holding in. That's the new fad. You don't hold out.
Hold in.
You show up so you get paid, but you don't go on the practice field until you get the deal. But what do you pay those guys? We're going to talk about that tomorrow here on DVD. When we come back, speaking of getting paid, Macklin Celebrini, he's what, 19 or 20 years old now? Has he turned 20 yet? Maybe just 20. I'm pretty sure he can't walk into a bar with his real ID and get in. But he's a very rich man as of today. We're going to talk about that and the ramifications of what the Sharks did today as we continue to wrap up the show. We've got a lot coming here on DVD, so keep it right here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, we've had a fun show today on DVD, and now, look, the pressure's on. Okay, we're going for the perfect game. Connor Newt has tried to slip by fastballs in our wheelhouse, the 1980s. No multiple choice. We just have to get the year of the song. I did okay in the 90s yesterday, but I slipped a couple. And I didn't finish strong. I missed the last one. I'm still stinging about that. I was off by 1 year. The D-Mace's challenge. I challenged D-Mace the day before with the 2000s. And he passed with flying colors. He missed the first one and then finished on a roll. Did not miss after that.
So the
Beasties, this was a huge album.
Yes.
Huge. I think I know it.
Still holds up, too.
It does.
Because it was a big year.
No sleep.
It was a big year in the Donick House, at least for me. Because the Mets were on top in this year. The Mets were on top.
You talk about, what, 80s, late?
It's
what was it?
They've only won it once. Yeah. in a long time.
Yeah, so that was
this year. And I feel like that's the year that this album came out. It's the album, right? Just to clarify.
Yeah.
Licensed to Ill.
I mean, did anybody not have this album?
Did you know what the album cover was?
It's a plane.
You think it was a plane? You think it was?
I think so. Well,
see, he doesn't know.
I'm not sure he's right.
I think it's something else.
It was a plane, yes. Yes, well, it was a plane.
Okay. But I feel confident that this is 86. Am I wrong? Okay. We could say it now.
There we go.
Perfect score.
History has been made.
History has been made.
Willie has gotten a perfect score.
Perfect score. Is it back to me tomorrow?
Yes.
With the
yes,
music?
It is. Oh.
Tomorrow. Okay, all right. We got to come up with
something. What year you think you're coming? Or you going to go something totally, you're going to go do different from the year? Or are you going to do something else? But we still have to guess.
I think there'll be something you have to participate in.
Okay.
Okay, I'll wrap my brain about that or around that a little bit earlier.
70s would kind of suck in.
70s, no, I'm not going to go
70s.
Yeah, I'm not.
I maybe can get a few of them.
I love the 70s stuff, but that's, we're going to have to come up with something, a good wrinkle to this game. It's a good game, though. We've had some action on the text line, just some things that we've hit on here. We were talking about Calvin Ridley missed practice today with a virus, but I had not thought about this. The thing that we don't like, let me just say what the texter said. Ridley doesn't have that explosive diarrhea virus, does he?
I hope he doesn't.
They didn't say one way or the other, but they said he lost some weight and he needs to get that back.
I pray that he doesn't. And I'm sure everybody, just about everybody, is aware of that and what's going on.
Michael said, was it the Taco Bell lettuce?
I stay away from lettuce for now. For now, I am no lettuce. And I cook my vegetables. So, there you go. So, let's hope he doesn't have that explosive.
Yes. Let's hope that Calvin, without TMI, not too much information. Yeah. He's back on the field and looking good.
Sooner rather than later.
Soon, yes. Macklin Celebrini today, an unbelievable contract, and they got it done. Connor Bedard is now done, but Macklin Celebrini, who, for those that don't know, first pick in the draft a couple years ago, San Jose Sharks, and he has helped, as Barry Trotz would say, he has accelerated their deep, deep rebuild. I mean, they sunk all the way to the bottom, and I think we've had this debate over and over. I know we have, that you do it out of necessity, and you hope that it doesn't take that long, but we have documented plenty of long, long rebuilds that take well over 5 years, sometimes seven, sometimes even 10 years before you see it. But when you have a guy like Celebrini, it speeds up the rebuild. And they're still very young, and they are loaded with a lot of young players. It'll be very notable to see if they can start winning with players as young as they've got. Celebrini is going to be 20. I think let's – hey, Connor, can you look up his exact age, Celebrini's age?
He's 20. He's 20.
So he is not turned 21 yet.
No. Okay. You look
But he is now the highest-paid player. The Sharks signed him 5 years. Mm-hmm. $18.8 million per year, which makes him the highest paid player in the NHL.
So you
at age 20.
You have Celebrini, you have Carlson, you have Kaprizov, then you have Bedard. You're talking about $15 million and above. Who is that next, guy that may supersede? Because like Celebrini is only 20 years old.
The market has changed so rapidly. Mm-hmm. That I think we're only seeing the beginning of this, because all of those players, Kaprizov is a little different because he came in from the KHL. He was a little bit of an unknown, and then he hit it big. And so he's in a separate category than Bedard and Carlson and Celebrini. Mm-hmm. But now what you're going to see is, and the next guy, the easy one that comes to mind is Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid will have 1 year. He signed a 2-year extension. So he's got 2 more years on his contract with the Oilers. But with him being the best guy, he is going to get more than 18.8. So everything is going to be redefined and reshuffled, and it affects everybody, which when it comes to the Nashville Predators, you start thinking about guys like Luke Evangelista, who is eligible for an extension. Mm-hmm. It's just going to cost more to sign good players, not let alone the best players. And the best players are resetting the market because McDavid gave them kind of a hometown discount for the two-year extension.
Do you think, what is it, 12.5 a year?
That's what McDavid gets now, yes. Yeah.
Do you think he will eclipse the 20?
I think so. Hmm. I think so. Because, well, now, here's the other part that he has control over. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's given the Oilers ample time to win there, but I think it's to the point. It's getting harder and harder for the Oilers to get better every year. The rest of their players are getting worse. Mm-hmm. They haven't done a great job of putting the supporting cast
around
McDavid and, of course, Leon Draisaitl, the Scottie Pippen to the Michael Jordan. So, if he wants to, he can do the LeBron and just, I'm a free agent. And I don't know if he'll do the voicemail thing where like, hey, give a voicemail to my agent and I'll get back to you. We'll decide who we want to play with.
Let's see what your picks
he could do that.
Like.
Because and the most you can give a player is 20% of the cap. So, the cap is going to go up. So, by that time, the cap will be, I don't know, between 100. I think it goes to 131 next year.
Okay.
So, it'll be around 140. So, it could. I think safely it'll be over 20 million.
And right now, the person that is taking up the most percentage is Carlson, Leo Carlson. He's taking up the most percentage at 17.31. And then Celebrini's at 16.56. So what would – if he stays with his current team, McDavid, or if he goes to another team, what would that – would they take it right up to the 20% or would they take it a little bit lower than that?
See, that's a good question. It depends on the term maybe. Yeah. But I would think you probably have to start with that discussion of, hey, a lot of teams are going to be budgeting –
yes.
To pay him 20%. So it's a matter of, you know, who do you want to play for?
Yeah.
So could the Predators at that point be a team that's attractive enough for him to consider that? I don't know if that's a goal because we don't know if he'll actually hit the market. He could get traded the year before to a team that he's willing to sign with when he could have an extension. So, but that's just one to watch. And he's not the only guy that is going to benefit from this new market. But the players have been very patient. They had to wait out the whole COVID thing and the escrow thing. But now life is good because the cap is going up. So that's just something to note. And Celebrini, by the way, when this contract expires, he's going to be really old, 26. So, he's going to be in the prime of his career ready for another big payday at that point.
Exactly.
If he continues on this path, he's amazing.
If he's 18 now, you're sure by then he's definitely going to be in the 20s if everything continues to go the way it has been for him.
We are going to be back at Titans training camp tomorrow, and we're looking forward to breaking down another day for you. We'll be at the practice, and we'll have all the coverage for you. The 6 is coming up, led by Connor Newt. Will there be 80s music played during the 6? Are you guys going to go with, like, the – now that the old guys are out of here, you're going to say, now let's get some real music on?
No, I'm not a fan of, quote, real music, as the kids call it. So,
all right, but what do you got going in the 6?
Lots of Titans talk today. Parker Kelly will join me. Of course, we were both out there. So we'll talk a little bit about Cam Ward and his efficiency in the red zone. We'll talk about Wandell Robinson and how he can help out Cam Ward in short gain stuff. I want to talk about the concerns on the offensive line with the starters being announced as Volson and Schlotman at center and right guard. So, yeah, a lot coming up on the 6.
Outstanding. We're back with you tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Everybody be safe tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2.
Be loved. Love all your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music, don't you forget about us? Because we will never forget about you. We're back on these airways starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, discussing what we saw at the Tennessee Titans practice tomorrow. And as I always say, we're going to be talking and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.